7:45 on 104.5 The Zone. It's J Mart and Ramon. He's Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steeler, always Vol.
All Vol.
All Vol all the time. On Twitter, at Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin, at J Mart Radio. Jonathan Schaefer completes our Voltron. We welcome in. Had him on a couple of weeks ago, and of course, news has happened since that point in time. He's on Twitter, at Big Ant Heron. Do we lead off just by saying former Nashville Cat, or do we talk about other things that you've done, Ant?
I'm good with former Nashville Cat. I think a lot of folks in the Music City have some fond memories of what went on there with the Cats at the GEC, I think, at the time, if I'm remembering that correctly, before, what is it now, is it Bridgestone still, Bridgestone Arena?
Yep. It's still the Stone now. So you still know your area there. So you're in, just to lay it all out, Pac-12 Network, NBC Sports, 670 The Score in Chicago. You do Sirius XM College, everything under the sun, and you're right there in Big Ten territory. So tell me, or tell us off the top, what your reaction is to what happened yesterday.
I mean, it's exciting that the Big Ten was able to put some systems in place to get the season going again. You know, I think that, I suppose when I think of just like my perspective, just sort of in general on where we're at, I think we've come to a point where we need to be honest and recognize that at this point we're sort of viewing football players, revenue generators as essential employees. And I think that's a discussion that needs to continue to be revisited on how revenue can potentially, or compensation for college football players, college basketball players, can perhaps be enhanced beyond the same kind of scholarship that they had a couple decades ago when I was playing college football. But those things being said, a lot of folks deservedly so are genuinely excited about football being back, and the ability to test on a daily basis, the ability to do so in a cost-effective manner, and to have the type of cardiac MRI machines that now all the schools around the Big Ten are going to have access to that they didn't have a month and a half ago. All those things ended up equaling where we're at right now, with the Big Ten hoping to, planning to push forward and get a season going in the end of October. You still have, though, individual campuses where, like Wisconsin just a few days ago, they announced a restriction where there's no athletics allowed for a couple of weeks. Penn State shut down athletics for a bit because of some situations they're having on campus with COVID. There's a number of kind of Iowa, the state of Iowa became a hot spot recently. So Iowa football kind of, you know, had to pause some things as well. So there's still some problems that will be there in individual regions. And I think that's a part of why the conference wasn't in a position to say, okay, now that we got daily testing at the end of September, we'll be ready to play by the first weekend in October, because you do still have, you know, some individual issues on a number of Big Ten campuses where they still need to sort of get COVID straightened out to an extent, you know, where they can have players back on the field running into each other. But overall, it's a path towards football this fall, and that's what folks are excited about.
Hey, Ann, this is Ramon Foster here. You know, and a lot of, you know, the communication was done on social media with, you know, the Big Ten wanting to get back to play. How much of an influence do you think that conference's star players, you know, you speak about them being essential workers pretty much in a sense. How much of the influence of the star players saying they want to play, you think kind of pushed this decision or them to get done with research a little bit quicker?
I think it was big, Ramon. I think it ended up continuing to apply pressure to the main stakeholders, to the decision makers that were going to be responsible for this. Because when it came down to it, I felt like the initial decision the Big Ten made, I thought it was made in haste. I didn't think it was necessary at that point on August 11th to postpone the season. They had already put out this schedule that was extremely flexible, that would have allowed the conference to maneuver in a way that they needed to push the season back to a later date, like the SEC had already determined a later date, or even if you started the season early and you had to miss a game here and there, they could have made up those dates in a really uniform manner because of the way the schedule was set up, where like opponents having the same bye weeks. All that had been done 6 days before they decided to postpone. But then once that postponement announcement came, the pressure came from a number of athletes, from a variety of parents around the conference, certainly from media all around the country as well. And I think in the end, it at least applied enough pressure for the conference to continue to look for more immediate possibilities for how to get the season rolling again. I mean, that's, you know, the folks, the presidents and chancellors, they weren't pleased with the idea of leaving literally over $1 billion with a B dollars on the table. So, I mean, I think avenues were going to be pursued no matter what, but it certainly doesn't hurt that you have the folks who are going to be participating, the players, coaches, and then beyond that, their family members who were putting public pressure on the conference as well.
Anthony Heron of SiriusXM College and ESPN Radio, I believe, in Chicago, joining us here on the show. Anthony, we see it everywhere, the political influence, the political pressure being put on by one side or the other. Maybe it's a president, maybe it's this. You being uniquely in that area of the country to really have seen it and look at some of the local reporting and talk to people over this last month since the 11th, since the decision was made, are people making too much out of the political side of this, or is there some legitimacy behind it?
I think when there's political pressure, it certainly just continues to sort of enhance the public scrutiny that a situation has. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily think that it didn't matter at all in the end, as far as like whether or not resources came from government. I think that's probably a more important factor in it, because in the end, I think regardless of any of the outside forces, if the Big Ten wasn't able to set up daily, rapid, cost-effective testing, they still wouldn't have made the decision they made yesterday. If they weren't able to get cardiac MRI machines to all 14 institutions across the 11 states that the Big Ten represents, I don't think the Big Ten would have made the decision to reinstitute the season yesterday. So the resources that have gone into it, I think that's a much bigger factor. The testing that's available, certainly the additional information, that, you know, it's been an additional month and a half. More doctors have weighed in on myocarditis. They've continued to even enhance the folks who advise them as a conference on just the level of risk that they would be potentially putting not only the young, healthy student athletes, but also the coaches, the other staff members, the event personnel, clock operators, officials. Like, there's a lot of folks, you guys know, who have to be out there in the stadium at these events, even without fans, but who have to be at these events when football games are being put on. And so to have the additional information associated with what does myocarditis mean for athletes, how have we seen football games play out related to whether or not it does become a super spreader sort of event, just having folks in a venue at the same time, having the athletes on the field running into each other versus just being in each other's presence. I think those findings continue to make the Big Ten more comfortable revisiting that decision and putting them in a position where they say, you know what, if we can test everybody associated with these events every single day, then that at least it not only, you know, lets us know that the individual players may or may not be healthy or contract the virus, but the contact tracing end of it becomes much more simplistic than it ever would have before, when results were going to be more delayed than what they are right now. So I think that the political end of it, it matters in the end. I mean, when you look at some of the local governments from the different universities who were in there, you can certainly make a strong case that they don't necessarily support the notion of where the Big Ten is at right now as far as playing versus not playing. But in the end, the medical end of it, I think the risk tolerance end of it, is where things were really different in Pac-12 country and in a number of areas of Big Ten country. But now it feels like that risk is much more mitigated at this point than it was a month and a half ago because of some of the additional protocols and systems in place.
Awesome stuff. That's terrific insight, Anthony. That segment flew by. We have much more that we could have talked to you about. We really appreciate you making time, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
All right, looking forward to it myself, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's Anthony Heron, SiriusXM College, also ESPN Radio in Chicago. We will talk about it ourselves when we come back. Also, you can call us, 615-737-1045. That's how you reach the program. That's how you have your say on our say, or on Twitter, at JMart and Ramon. Andy Staples joins us in about 20 minutes. You don't want to miss that. It is 754 on 104.5 The Zone.